I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen.
Wonderful thing. Y'all don't mind, let's look to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we are so thankful for this moment that we have, dear God. And Lord, we always want to stop and just acknowledge you, Lord. You are the one who's able to feed our souls, Lord. Lord, we don't even know how to open up and receive, but God, you're able to do all that by your Spirit. So we pray by your Spirit you would lead in God now, Lord, and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. He leadeth me. There's a song that we have sung some in the, I'll just read it to us here by that name. And it says, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And before I even say anything else, you know, everything in life, a lot of blessings come along, but there's just about nothing more blessed than to know that the Lord is leading us by the hand, that He's with us, and He's not just with us, but He's carrying us through the things that we go through in life. And this is an absolute truth of the Bible. This is not something as Christians that we've come up with to kind of bolster our feelings about the situations we go through in life. It's the absolute truth. As real as we're sitting here, as I'm standing up here today, the person next to you, the bench that you can touch with your hand right now is just as real, that God is leading you. If you are His child and you are seeking to allow Him to do that in your life, then He will hold your hand and He will carry you through each and every single situation that you face in this life. You know, I think about maybe all the things that my earthly father has protected me from, has carried me through. And as a little child, I think of holding His hand maybe as a 3-year-old, or 4-year-old, or 5-year-old, and thinking about trying to tell Him how we're going to manage this next situation. You know, Lord help us to have the reality of our Heavenly Father. And to understand that we can trust Him. We haven't got to figure any of that out. Anything about the future, if we set our hearts to follow Him and serve Him, He will handle it from there. And that's the burden the Lord has given us this morning to talk about and to remind us of a little bit. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Oh, I thank the Lord this morning. I think of the times in my life, including some maybe pretty recently, that I'm tempted, and maybe even at times I do express my frustration with the situation or express my desire that there might be a change. And I feel the Lord checking me and saying, Brandon, do you think I've stepped off to the side or something? Do you think I've let go of your hand here? Do you think I'm not aware of the situation you're going through? Do you know that I have this in control? And He only encourages me just to hold His hand and trust Him more. And you know, I believe with all my heart, there's nothing better to do in life than to do that, to be a faithful follower who would just place his hand in the Lord's and follow Him. You know, He is the Good Shepherd. I want to look over in 23rd Psalm here. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, this morning, I want to encourage us. If you love the Lord and you want Him to lead you in life, You can. This can be your statement in truth. There's no sense in sitting here and pretending. All right, if I'm not willing to place my hand in the Lord's and allow Him to take me through whatever He chooses to do in life, then it's hard for me to come up here and in truth say, the Lord is my shepherd. If I want to be able to make this statement and know that it's true, it takes me being willing to place my hand in His. Yes. Say, Lord, not my way, not my will, amen, not my wisdom, not my decisions, not my hopes, not my dreams, but yours. Yeah. Lord, because, not because I'm just looking not to have any of those things, but because I know that yours is better,
yes,
that you are the good shepherd, that you know better than me in all of those situations. You know what I should hope for. Yeah. You know what I should. You know what would truly make me happy if that actually comes to pass in my life.
Yes.
You know, I think I know, but only the Lord truly knows. You know, I've heard people talk about sheep. And I'm not a shepherd, and I don't have an immense source of knowledge, but I've read some things and heard some things from people who do. And one thing that is mentioned is that sheep are not the most intelligent creatures in the world. Now, that's not to down anybody here this morning, but the point behind that is we don't know better than the shepherd how to handle things. That's why He calls us sheep. He wasn't down in us. He was just trying to get us a picture of how much we need to trust Him, to rest in Him, to allow Him to have His way with us in life. So the Lord is my shepherd. I hope you can say that this morning. Do you know that that truly will? If that's the truth, then you've just solved. You've solved life. Quite honestly, you've just solved life. If the Lord truly is your shepherd, you've just solved it. You may not know everything. You don't know everything you need to know. But you know who the shepherd is. You know who to follow. As He says in one place, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. They will not follow another. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You've just solved life's problems. You've just solved them. Well, what is it that, why is it that I'm driven to do things in life, to make decisions, to make plans, to do all these things? What is it? It's so that their wants, and I want to take care of them, whether they're mine or they're the family, you know, that I want maybe in life or the family that I have, it, whatever the case may be, I'm doing all these things. I'm trying to apply myself and my abilities to a situation to solve that lack. A want is a lack. To make sure I try to take care of as many of them as I possibly can. Which in the reality of my humanity, I don't know many people who think they'll be able to take care of every single lack in life. We get overconfident to think we can take care of as many as we do. But the Lord can take care of all of them. Okay, so even if you think you're pretty good, you're not that good. Okay, none of us are. We're not. But the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Any good thing, He says in another place. Anything that I need in life, the Lord's going to provide. That's what He's telling us when He says, I'm your shepherd. When He inspired David to write this song, that's the message He's trying to get to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not, you know, there's some green out here, but we see the effects of life. We see that the grass isn't always green, and it gets brown and just by the natural flow. But we have a Father who's able to circumvent all those situations. You know, the natural flow of life, so to speak, with us is that there's some green times, and there's some times where things get dry. But the Lord's making a promise here that in the midst of what seems to be dry places, that He's got a pasture we can lie down in. Amen. That's green, that's full of good things. And it says, He leads me beside the still waters. And I wanted to look here and mention still waters, waters of peace, waters of consolation. All my efforts trying to, we've heard a message just now about healing. And all my efforts, and all the things I'm putting in, trying to figure out some way maybe to heal my situations or to take care of, And the Lord's got waters of healing. That he said, look, they're right here. I'll lead you. If you follow me, look, it says he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me beside the waters of consolation, the waters of peace in my life. So you don't make a decision to say, yeah, I want the Lord to save me and forgive me and expect that that's what's going to cause all this to happen. You make a decision to follow, to place your hand in the Lord's, actively saying, Lord, now lead me, take me. If you do that, then he'll lead you beside the still waters. He'll lead you beside the waters of consolation, the waters of healing in your life. You know, over in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, and we'll start here with the 11th verse. He is talking to his people here, and he is telling them that I've had shepherds out there for you, and they weren't able to take care of you, whether through their own neglect or whatever the case may be. It didn't work. It doesn't work that way. So now he's saying, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will both search out my sheep and seek them out. Brother Darrell mentioned how that he didn't have to just point his finger on everything in your life. That if he could get somebody to the Lord, connected to the Lord, that the Lord could start taking over. You know why? Because that's why Jesus came. And he's alive. He came to be that shepherd, to replace the system that didn't work. You know, that's why we don't try as ministry, let's just take that for effect, to come in, but honestly, we don't try as just a family and the Lord to try to come in and fix all your problems. That's not the way it works. Right. We want to point you to the one who can, and we want to pray for you, and we want to help you along and do whatever we can do, but you've got to connect to him. Yes. Because he is that shepherd. That didn't work. Jesus came and replaced all that to a place where he's alive and living and aware of what's happening in my life. And he cares. And he's taken the place of the shepherd. And it's not a place he's ever given back to anybody else. He's not giving it to me. He's not giving it to you. He's not giving it. He owns that place. It is his place. And he is that shepherd. And he is the good shepherd. And it says, behold, even I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloud and dark. I love this. The Lord is not just saying, well, if you've made it somehow to Monarch, if somehow you've made it to the church of God, well, now I'll take over from here. There wouldn't be a Monarch. There wouldn't be a church of God if that's what he said. If he said, somehow get to the right place and then I'll take over from here. Somehow get to the place where you've got it together and you're in the right place and then I'll take your hand and lead you from there. No, he says here, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. And there's just a little bit of a side here, because as we think back to a little bit of what I was saying, how our hopes and dreams are all about taking care of our wants in life, getting some kind of land set up. The Lord's got that land for you. He said, I went to build you a mansion about heaven. And here he's talking about bringing us to our own land, our land where it's provided for us, not where he said, okay, I'm going to put you all in this little place here and scramble for it. If you can get it, it's yours. Like the man beside the pool, that's not how Jesus operated. He didn't sit back and watch and wait until he was able to get in the pool and get his. He went to him and he said, here's yours. Here's yours. Have it. That's what the Lord's saying here. He said he'll bring us to our own land. What do I need? Some of our needs are alike, but you know, some of them aren't. But the Lord knows what I need, and he supplies for all my needs. And he wants to supply for all of your needs too. Absolutely. So we'll bring them to their own land and feed them by the mountains of Israel, upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. And there they shall lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture, in a rich place. That's what this word, the word fat here is, it means rich. That's what it means. A place where you've got more than enough to take care of what your needs are. So shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. And he'll, it's a song we've sung as a family recently. It's, I think probably a lot of you have heard it, but it's called, He'll Do It Again. So He'll do it again. And if I can remember the chorus, I didn't really plan on mentioning the song, but if I remember the chorus, it says, He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you've been. Hasn't He always come through for you? Remember, your land. Not as a group, yes, but because He's coming through for each one of us individually. Hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then. Our God has not changed. Oh, Lord, I can't remember the last part of that chorus there, but thank you. You may not know how, and you may not know when, but He'll do it again. Yes. He has promised this, He has done this, and He will do it again in my life. He is a shepherd. He's not a conqueror. He's mighty, but the way that He illustrates Himself to us is as a shepherd, not someone who just conquers everything and that's my domain, but as a shepherd who leads His sheep, who gathers them, finds them, and continues to walk with them, continues to provide for them. I wanted to look at a song here in Evening Light, 94. I can't hardly help but get happy when we sing this song. I guess there's a lot like that in our book, but this is one especially that just can't help but make me smile. And this is Looking for Me, said second verse, weeping, I long for the rapture of pardon, long for my burden of sin to be free. Then, as I lifted my earnest petition, Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, now and forever my boasting shall be. Over the mountain where lonely I wandered, Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. Oh, thank the Lord that He came, and I want us to remember that, and I want us to know that He'll do it again, that He's the same God. And when we go on from that moment in our life and we find places where we're stumbling or we've got struggles or we even wake up one day and say, where am I? What is... You know, if we can listen to the Lord and put our hand in His, we can avoid places like that.
Yes.
But in our struggles in following the Lord and in our battles with the flesh, sometimes we wake up and we see, where am I? You know, the Lord still is calling after you and wanting to lead you, wanting to take you. It's as simple as Him taking you by the hand, wherever it is that you are. You don't even have to really understand it if you can just say, Lord, let me put my hand in Thine. Lord, just let me. I don't know what I've done. I don't know how I end up in this place. I don't know how all this happened. Lord, here's my hand. Lord, take me where I need to go. Show me the path. Show me the stairway that I should climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Devil wants you to get in that situation and go, oh, okay, well, I guess I need it. What am I? Okay, I got to do that. I got to do that. Just put your hand in the hand of the Savior and let Him lead you and take it one day at a time. You know, Jesus Himself over in John, the 10th chapter, speaks of this, of being the shepherd. I have a hard time staying away from John when I preach, I think. I don't know. But he talks a lot about the shepherd and the sheep here. But the 11th verse says, John 10 and 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about trying to get the concept of, does God really care? Does Jesus really care? And we thought about how that, can we think of another reason that Jesus came to earth besides us? I mean, does he care? What else did he come? He had heaven, y'all. We had earth. And then nothing after that. He had heaven. And if you can think of another reason, let me know. But I haven't found one. The only reason he came was for us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is in a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeing because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. You know, I think there's a lot of people who care. But as the song says, another song says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's situations, we talk about it, you know, there's situations in life that people can only go so far with us. And the struggles they have as humans as well begin to interfere maybe or something, whatever the case may be. You know, the Lord can go all the way. Amen. When the wolf comes, the Lord's not going anywhere. He's going to take care of that situation if you let him. Amen. Now, I remember one time, the Lord just brought something back to my mind. My Uncle Stanley Dixon and my dad, we were, I don't even remember where we were, but we were out somewhere. I think we were going out to shoot some rabbits, and I'm pretty sure my cousins Jeff and Craig were there. And whether it's true or not, because I probably shouldn't mention this here, but I think I will. Jeff and Craig might have tried every once in a while to frighten me. And so this may or may not be a completely true story. But they said something about there was a wolf out there, that they saw a wolf. And they started looking over, and I was shorter, and I remember there was tall, like, hay out in the fields, and there's kind of a little rising over there. They said, oh, yeah, he's right over there. And they were pointing and everything. And I'll tell you what I wasn't doing. I wasn't running over there to see what I could do about the wolf. I was behind my dad, and if I remember correctly, I was heading for the car, but I was definitely had my dad between me and my uncle, between me and where that wolf was. I remember that part clearly. You know, the Lord, sometimes we want to be responsible, and we want to say, Lord, I'll handle this situation. He's going, no, don't do that. Don't do that. He's here for all of those situations in our life. And when the wolf comes, he's here to protect us. It's okay. Be the little child that hides behind the Savior, that stays right there, that holds on to his hand. That's how you're going to make it. You haven't proved anything going out there and getting yourself torn up by the wolf, getting yourself scattered by the wolf. You haven't proved anything. I was 5, 6, 7. I don't know how old I was. I didn't have anything to prove. Nothing to prove. Lord, help us to be that way as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. I don't have anything to prove. It's the Lord who's led me to this place. It's the Lord who's enabled me to do it. It's the Lord who's going to deliver me. Because everything you've seen happen in my life, and maybe you've seen some wolves somehow in my life be taken care of, it wasn't me that did it. It was the Lord. And it's not going to be me this time. And the Lord's not waiting on some moment in my life when I can finally take care of the wolf. That's his job. My job is to let him lead me, to hang on to his hand and allow him to guide me. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It says here, he seeth the wolf coming, the hireling does, and he leaves the sheep and flees. He is a hireling, flees because he is a hireling, careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, the law, what does the verse say? The law brought judgment? Can you hear? Well, it's the verse about how the law brought judgment, but Christ brought. That's the verse. Can you say that a little louder for me? The law came by Moses. And when the wolf came, there wasn't anything to do anything about it. But grace and truth came by Jesus. That's what we're living under. We have something. We have a protection against the wolf. All right? And it says, the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Yes, thank the Lord. You know, and I don't know, this is obviously right at the end of this. There's a little bit of a message there. The Lord knows who are His, as He tells us in other places. And He longs to bring them all together, physically, to worship together. But He has one fold. And His Spirit witnesses who are His. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. There's a Lord called Jesus who's got one fold, and He's bringing everyone together. And the Lord knows how to do that. He knows how to witness. When I see a brother or sister in Christ that may not really know anything about the Church of God, I know the Lord can lead them. I know He can bring them safely home, just like He can bring me safely home. And if you're maybe a brother or sister, there's some here I know that has spent years looking for a place. They felt free to worship. And they finally come to a place where they feel that freedom. Do you know the Lord is still able to do that? And we don't have to rush it. We don't have to press it. We don't have to push it, whichever side we're on. If we're looking or we're found, we don't have to push it either way. We can just be, what's the shepherd want? The shepherd says He has open arms to welcome in. Okay, Lord help us. Let's let Him do that. Bring His fold together as he does that. And thank the Lord that He's able to do that. And I think about that too in the sense of the newly saved, and just mentioned here, the Lord is able to fit you right in to the fold, right where you need to be. If you feel like you're a little misfit maybe, well, I mean, you're in a new place. Yeah. But the Lord will cause you to fit right in. You just follow Him. You put your hand in His. And don't try to fit that person you were into the place He's leading you. Sometimes people come in, they for whatever reason, feel pressure or something to just be accepted. The Lord will place you right in that place. He'll cause you to fit. But we stand back and say, well, this is who I am and everything, like we've heard a little bit about. You're going to cause some problems in that. There's going to be some rifts. But if you just let Him lead you, you just put your hand in His and let Him fill you with His Spirit, the meekness and gentleness, you're going to fit right in. Thank the Lord for that. All right, let's look back in Isaiah here, 43. Isaiah 43 and 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He's talking about us. That formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. Thank the Lord. This warms my heart, and I'm going to get on down here and read a little more maybe before we talk about that. But he goes on, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. He did not say, well, you know what, it's going to be kind of difficult. Let's see, you know, you've got a captain of a vessel, and the rivers are, you know, the waters are just up and down and all. They look at, well, I don't know. Not sure we should try this. Lord says, don't worry about it. I've got this. They're not going to overflow you. It's not a piece of cake. But in the sense of, are we going to make it or not? That answer's, that's solved. It may be rough waters. It may be something. But He said, they won't overflow you. I'll be with you and carry you through. I want you to get that message. I don't want to leave here and say, people say, Brandon's up there and he's talking about how that God takes all the waters and just parts them. And you just walk through on dry ground, and there's nothing really there's no struggles or things that you go through. The assurance is that, well, how we talked about in that song that we were reading here at the start, he says, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, sometimes mid scenes of deepest glooms. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. That's the assurance. That's my blessed assurance I have today, is that he leadeth me. Not that everything's just going to be shoo, part the way and I've got dry ground, but that he leads me through those situations. And if he leads me and I place my hand in his and allow him to do that, then when I pass through the waters, he will be with me. When I go through the rivers, they will not overflow me. When I walk through fire, I shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon me. It says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. You know, the Lord witnessed a little bit about this verse to me, and it touched me in a deep way, and I'm going to share it with you. Just this way. Do you know that to have you sitting where you are, part of a heavenly kingdom, following the Lord, Lord willing, you stay in that place one day, home with him in heaven. Do you know that to have you, he had to have those that would be lost? Do you know it says that the God loves all of creation? He loves all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wanted, it wasn't that in his heart he only wanted a few people. His heart has been broke over and over, and it took that so that I could be here today and be saved. If he wasn't willing to have that happen, we wouldn't even exist. We wouldn't be here. But thank God that he was willing to suffer that pain that he suffered for us. You know, the more you think about the pain he suffered, it just goes further and further and further. And you get more of a glimpse of how much the Lord went through just so we could be here today and follow him and place our hands in his. Well, I want to look back over in the 23rd Psalm now. Actually, let me read just a few more verses here first. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. And bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Thank the Lord. Let's look over here in Psalms 23. All right, and we're going to repeat ourselves here a little bit, but let's read through this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, do you believe it? We spent a little time this afternoon just reminding ourselves who this God is, his love for us, his care for us, his desire to help us and provide for us. And says, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You're going to see as we read through this that the Lord does everything for us. He provides in every way. And I hope and pray, whatever, if there's something in your life this morning that just needs the touch of the Master's hand, especially, we need him every day. But something especially, I hope that you'll see, and you'll see in this passage here, that the Lord's covered that too. That there's not anything that he doesn't care about or doesn't want to help. It says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Has anybody ever heard this psalm before? We've heard this from the time we were little. This is one of the first passages of scriptures I remember my oldest son memorizing. It's something we've heard from the time could start hearing stuff. We've heard this passage. If we've been around parents who raised us in the Word. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I could spend an hour probably on any one of these verses in here, and that's not really what the Lord's given me to do. I hope you'll think about them. You've heard them since you were little. I hope you'll take some time and think about them and realize they're not just a beautiful poem. They are a beautiful poem, but they're more than that. I probably say that a lot, but Lord, help us not just to let them pass as some beautiful piece of script of writing, but to realize the truth in every single one of these statements. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Where is it that I have to be led? Let your hand be in His, and don't let the devil trouble you. The Lord is leading you in goodness and in mercy. He knoweth your frame, that we are of dust. He knows. He said one place, well, it says in the song, we are the sheep of His pasture. We are His people. We are not some massive force in ourselves that can handle these things. He knows we need goodness and mercy. He knows how to lead us gently. He tells us over and over. You say sometimes, people say, well, I don't know if the Lord really understands me. I'm not saying this in judgment of you because I've said the same thing. But really? Really? Are you serious? You've heard these verses all your life. This is God. This is God that inspired this word. He could have said whatever He wanted to say. No one was, so to speak, holding a gun to His head saying, write this. He wrote what He wanted to write to us. What He wanted us to know about who He was. Lord, help me to understand that and to trust Him and to put my hand in His. It says here, I wanted to just read a little statement here as we finish. Excuse me for a moment. It says, in order to be led, you probably won't have the exact words here, but I think we know what has to happen, right? You have to be willing to follow. That simple. The devil tries to make it complicated. It's that simple. And then sometimes we complicate it because maybe we are struggling with wanting to follow through whatever situation it is in life. But we have all these promises from God. Remember, nobody made Him say these things. He chose to inspire these things to be written down, so that we would know who He was and how He wanted to work with us, so that we could trust Him and put our hand in His and let Him lead us. In order to be led, you have to be willing to follow. You have to be willing to lay down your control, your wishes, your desires, your plans, and put your hand in the Lord's and say, Lord, where do You want to take me? How do You want? You have to lay down tomorrow to follow the Lord. You can't hold on to tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. You have to be willing to lay all that down too. You have to be willing to lay down today. Lay them all down, all the questions, everything that surrounds those things. You're going to have to be willing to lay those down in the Master's hands in prayer. By that, we don't mean you ignore them. God's not calling anybody to ignore the situations in your life. He's calling you to lay them down in His hands. To leave them, bring them to Him and put them there. To let Him have them and let Him guide you and direct you through those things in your life. You pray for me.